Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Atlanta is Jabu Sangova. Jabu is the ethics officer for the City of Atlanta, and today we're going to be talking about government ethics. First of all, Jabu, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Now, first, what do government ethics issues typically encompass in terms of risk areas?
So conflict of interest risk areas are often associated with outside employment or outside business interests, as well as certain personal and financial relationships that we find create conflicts for our officials or employees. So outside jobs and outside businesses have raised some additional risks during the season of working remotely. And similar to other organizations, we have been working remotely since March 2020. So we've had incidents of employees either working another job or operating a business potentially while working remotely. And I find that this was not as much a flag as it has been while we've been in this virtual space. We also noticing that the City of Atlanta, being that we're in an election year, we're seeing some additional risks with campaign related activity, and that's been creating some conflicts for certain city jobs. Now, in terms of misuse of government property, which is another risk area for government programs, and we're talking about use of cars, credit cards, as well as the time or labor of a city employee, and that is definitely another high risk. Now, in past years, the city experienced a significant misuse of city credit cards by employees and officials, which led to some really unfortunate stories in the media. And we've looked at other government programs as well, and the use of what some jurisdictions refer to them as P cards, credit card use, and that tends to be another a risk area for other jurisdictions as well. So for example, with the credit card situation for the City of Atlanta, what we saw was that there were outrageous expenses related to travel, restaurants, and some other charges, just to name a few. So in my opinion, we found that city credit cards create a high risk, and we've since lobbied for tighter controls related to credit card use. I think the issue becomes that because government service comes with lower compensation than in the private sector, when you have officials, employees that have access to things like cars and credit cards, they may have a sense of entitlement. The last risk I will mention would be that related to gifts and gratuities, which I know is something similar in the corporate sector. And we find that that's usually the problems we have with gifts and gratuities are related to interactions with city vendors and contractors. As to be expected, certain parts, certain divisions of the government will interact more closely with vendors and contractors, and therefore they are at the risk of receiving gifts and favors. Now, our gift rules are structured to discourage corruption and high-risk conduct such as that, but as you know, rules do not guarantee good behavior, and only a culture change does that.
You're absolutely right. Culture change is really what it takes. And those are very complex and deep problems to address. Now, in the City of Atlanta, how are your ethics training and employee helplines handled? Is that something you oversee or another department?
So with ethics training, and that's really one of our critical parts of our program. So unfortunately, a lot of time with government programs, we tend to rely on classroom training. But of course, COVID changed everything. So initially, when I first started in the office, which was over 12 years ago, we were focused on classroom training. But now we've had to move, of course, into e-learning, and that's a work in progress. So we do handle all the ethics training. We're talking about we do have to serve over 8,000 employees. And what we're working on now actually currently is trying to develop a new e-learning course.
Interesting. And it's probably an overdue evolution that the pandemic helped along. Now, having participated in several SEC events, you've gained a great deal of exposure to corporate compliance programs. What do you think compliance teams in the government could learn from what you're seeing in the corporate sector?
So I really have learned, and through just some of my, you know, interactions and events that I've attended, is that I see how much resources and money are devoted to corporate compliance programs. And I just wish that our government programs could learn from this. We do not invest enough money and resources into our programs. And I really would hope that this changes in the years to come. And we're also not taking advantage of some of the resources, I think, that are out there, which is why, in fact, I was really excited at the last in-person SCCE conference that I saw more familiar faces from the government sector. So I'm seeing many of us are coming to events that are SCCE events, for example, because we're seeing that the more we expose ourselves to corporate programs, that we can also benefit and learn from each other. And I'm hoping that we'll see more of that government interaction in more future SCCE events.
Well, we've certainly seen the rise of government attendees, not just as speakers, but, you know, from compliance and ethics efforts. Now, is there anything that you think that the corporate compliance world could learn from government ethics programs?
So one of the things I think you could definitely learn from is how to be more resilient, and definitely I call it the bounce back attitude. So we face a lot of political challenges with our government ethics programs and a lot of oppositions. So for example, for some reason, our program, we've managed to survive what I say three administrations. I've been through three mayors, and I believe that's only through just really being resilient. I call it surviving at all costs and learning how to survive with on little or no resources. So for example, when we first started this program, we only had about two or three employees. We've managed to grow to eight, and that's just from being resilient and knowing how to manage and, you know, balance limited budget and resources. So definitely learning how to navigate through political challenges is one thing I would say. Learning how to be strategic. So learning how to be ready to ask for additional funding when you have goodwill. So when you have goodwill from leadership, management, learning how to ask for what you need, because the tide could turn at any minute and you could be 1 minute loved and next minute hated. So that's some of the things I would say that corporate programs may want to learn.
And I think everyone in compliance knows that feeling of going from loved to hated as issues evolve. Now, how do you see government programs evolving over the next few years?
So this is a pretty tough question to answer. But I think COVID has changed things for all of our government ethics and compliance programs. And so now we find ourselves navigating in this virtual space that is so unfamiliar to many of us. So, and if you had told me that government employees will be working 100% remotely, I probably would have laughed, because it's never really been encouraged, or nobody's believed that you could have government employees working from home, but we've all been forced to do that with COVID. So I would say that one of the things that we've had to learn is better utilizing technology in our programs. So I would say that government programs are going to have to step out of the old way of doing things to survive. And we're going to now have to use technology better, develop strong, effective e-learning programs, and really be more aggressive about seeking more money and resources for our programs. And I think really through technology will evolve better over the next few years.
So you mentioned technology. In what areas particularly do you think the technology investment would best be made?
Definitely, I would say the best investment would be more e-learning for our city employees as well as our officials. As I just talked about briefly before, for many years, we've had to rely on going directly and providing training, classroom training, but that's not going to work. And the future we're looking at, we need to be able to have webinars for different departments, different divisions, and even for people that volunteer in government service. So we've, for example, started developing an e-learning course, and technology is a big part of that. We've also looked at helping our technology department help us with launching a learning management program. And so again, technology is one of the biggest things that we need more money for.
Well, I think we're all going to see a lot more investments in technology and new innovative ways to use it come out of this era. And it'll be an interesting to see how much of it stays, how much of it we invest further in, and what we pull back from once we return to offices and sort of whatever the new normal may be. Well, Jabu, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us and sharing these insights. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.